The escrow blessings on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Our design primarily was to go through that study rather quickly because I was going to, and I am concentrating more time now on the escrow blessings that we have on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. First of all, you have to remember, and for those of you that were not here when we originally introduced the subject, billions and billions of years ago, God the Father set aside escrow blessings for the church age believer. Now, that means that he did not set them aside based on his knowledge of what you would do with them. He simply set them aside under equal privilege and equal opportunity for the church age believer. Now, if you fail in appropriating that which God has set aside on your behalf, that is not God's problem. And there's only one reason why you will not appropriate what God has set aside for you in eternity past, and that is your failure to reach maturity because you failed to appropriate doctrine in time on a regular basis. Now, that's one of the reasons why we have tapes. Many of you cannot make it to class during the week, whether it be work schedule or geography. But the fact of the matter is we do have those tapes, and you should be availing yourself of them. Some do, and I look forward with anticipation for their reaching maturity adjustment to the justice of God and opening those blessings that God set aside on their behalf. Now, we saw in addition to that that they basically fall into two major categories. One is called spiritual blessing, and the other is called temporal blessing. And it's obvious that the temporal blessing is specifically designed for time, whereas spiritual blessings are not only designed for time, but are extended on into eternity. As a matter of fact, we've established that the proof of one's experience in escrow blessing in time is the assurity and proof of escrow blessing in eternity. Now, having said that, we can reverse it and say that if you don't have blessing in time, you will not have blessing in eternity. And that is exactly what is meant in the scripture when Paul instructed the Corinthians that some lost. They didn't lose their salvation. That's never an issue. They lost their rewards. And the reward is based on blessing in time. And by the way, blessing is not that your car started this morning. You know, we've gotten to the point where we want to use blessing for anything that's good. You know, it's not raining today. What a blessing. Someone said to me on Friday night during graduation, they said, when will we ever get out of this mode of having balloons with luck written on them? Good luck. Not for the believer. There is no such thing as luck. But then to call blessing a part of luck, it's not. Had someone tell me a while back that they were dealt a bad hand. I despise that. What is God, just the dealer in the sky? It did remind me of something that you should be praying about. Jerry Cahoon Sr. did have a heart attack, and he is in intensive care at Maryville Samaritan. I've not heard any more about that. Anybody here? Anything more? No? We'll pray for him anyway. Say, what triggered that? Dealer. All right. Here are some of the specifics of spiritual blessings. Now, remember, we've covered this in part very quickly, and then we also covered the areas of temporal blessing. But as you can see, I'm going back over this because I want to thoroughly indoctrinate you with regard to what you can have. And hopefully this is actually designed for you to say, wow, you mean I can have that? And desire it. The feeling that I had is after I introduced it first, that I really didn't give you enough information to make you excited about appropriating your escrow blessings. So I'm trying to do that in whatever means I can. The first of the spiritual blessings is maximum contentment and stability of happiness. I have recently had contact, I don't normally, but I've had contact with legalistic people, and they simply established what I've said all along regarding legalists. They're not happy people. I saw one recently. The man looked like he just lost everything in his life. Sad. Well, you see, the antithesis of that is grace orientation, which brings maximum happiness. You have no illusion about yourself, especially no illusions regarding your fellow man. Where comes the disappointments, the inordinate expectations? We desire too much from people, and they're not capable of doing it. I think often we desire too much even from ourselves, and we get disappointed because we're unable to do it. We're frustrated. I've had to resign in my own life that there are things I can no longer do. Fine. Why? Because of age. I used to be able to outrun half of the young people in the church. Well, now they can do it. I think they could walk faster. Maximum contentment. Stability of happiness. See, they both go together. You can't separate them. For when you're content, you're happy. Now, contentment does not mean you have everything you've ever desired. God knows when He releases those escrow blessings, and remember, they're tailored to you specifically. So don't look at someone else's blessings and say, I don't know if I want those. They're not designed for you. They're designed for them. And God has a marvelous way of tailoring blessings exactly that fit. Secondly, maximum tranquility. Contentment and tranquility. What more can you ask for? I remember many years ago, the pastor that I was sitting under at that time, used to use an illustration repeatedly about wealth. Now, he wasn't downing people who were wealthy. He just simply said that he knows of a wealthy man who has said to him that he would give up his wealth if he could have a good night's sleep. Contentment, happiness, tranquility. You see, when you are irritated, when you're upset, when you're nervous, when you're worrying, you can't get a good night's sleep. But when you put it in the hands of the Lord, and I'm not going to say you sleep like a baby. That's never impressed me. They're up every 2 hours. Wetting a diaper. I don't know where we ever got that. I know smooth as a baby's skin, yes. Or another part of their anatomy, but they slept like a baby. I just don't quite get that. Thirdly, poise. Poise, you see, is actually the overt manifestation of happiness. Often we think of happiness if somebody is sitting in the corner giggling. Well, that's not happiness. That could be a result of inebriation. When I was with the police department, every time I arrested someone for DWI, before that they were laughing until I said, "You're going to jail." Then they were not happy campers. Fourthly, and this is important, maximum capacity for life. Did you ever have someone say of another person, and hopefully you, that person really has a joy for life? Most of the time you ask somebody, how are things going? And they go, just pushing. I find myself occasionally just saying, same old thing. Then I correct myself. Wait a minute, Solomon. And I don't have anything that Solomon had. And yet he was bored with life. And we tend to get that way. Do you notice that with our children? Remember how when we were younger, and I say we if you're over 65, how we entertained ourselves when we were growing up? Kids today, they have it all done for them. They don't even have to think anymore. I did find out recently, by the way, that the ancient Greeks actually believed that the brain was not the source of thinking. They actually believed that the heart was the source of thinking, and that the brain was only designed to cool the blood that was being pumped into it by the heart. Isn't that interesting? You know, your brain is kind of like a radiator. And the heart is the water pump. And as it passes through the brain, it gets cooled down. Well, they were wrong, obviously. But you note how many references there are in the scriptures with regard to the heart being the thinking part of the soul. Of course, we know it isn't the real heart. This capacity for life includes capacity for love. I remember many years ago when my wife would say to me, "I love you," I would say, "How can you? You don't know the meaning of the word." Kiddingly, of course. And she'd respond, "Yes, I do." And I'd respond, "No, you don't." And when I would say, "I love you," she would say to me, "You can't love me. You don't know the meaning of the word." It's interesting, because you know, up to a certain point in your relationship, in achieving or attempting to achieve adulthood, you really don't have a grasp on what true love is. Children don't. When a child says, "Mommy, I love you," and you say, "I love you too," two different words, spelled exactly the same, but have much different definitions. Example, don't do what they desire. And they'll immediately ask you, "Don't you love me anymore?" See? Love to them is what they can get. Love to an adult should be what they can give. I was reminded this morning as I was lying in bed, I was looking at my hands, and one was open and the other was clenched. I thought, make up your mind. But see, as we come into this life, as a baby, your hands are clenched. And yet, when you die as an adult, what happens? They open. Capacity for life. Capacity for love. Capacity for happiness. This means that you are conscious of just not being alive, but you have a zest for life. And you're alive with your relationship to God. I was talking to someone recently on the phone. They were explaining certain things to me that I should understand, and I said, "Nonsense." I said, "Why don't you quit thinking so much about," and I mentioned their name, "and start thinking about what God has provided for you?" You know, sometimes we get so introspective, and that can be depressing. I mean, you go through life thinking about yourself all the time. That can be depressing. Unless you have an illusion about yourself. Then that's depressing. You see, this is a relationship that no system of adversity or suffering can ever take away. Because you're happy regardless. And you know why you have a zest for life? I'm going to give you a clue. Not only because you've reached maturity, but because you may not know the conditions of your death, but you know it's in the hands of the Lord. And that gives you a tremendous amount of satisfaction. God knows the time, the place, the occasion. Well, you can sit around and be frightened about it. And the person that said it well. You are not prepared for life unless you're prepared to die. And the people who are always fear death fear life. Don't project down the years. It may not be that long. Ever so often I look at the obituaries and my wife says, "You're not there," and so I prepare myself for the day. No, I notice the difference of ages. Sometimes 6 months, a baby. Sometimes 5 years, a young child. Sometimes 17, 18. When that guy went on that shooting spree in the various places, the guys, those kids didn't expect to die. Some of them were believers. They'd been praying that morning. They were probably praying about their day, which they never saw. So let's get upset, see? That's the nature of the human. Let's project down through the years and then get depressed because it's obvious when we look at other people that we're going to have the same problems. That's stupid. That may not be very theological by word, but that's stupid. It's also very dumb. What'll happen to me when I get old? Wait till you get old, then you'll see what'll happen to you. Live your life a day at a time. You see, a person who is disoriented to time is totally disoriented. Some people live in the future. You can't. Worse than that, some people live in the past. And they're always telling you what they used to do. And most of us are not impressed with has-beens. That's what they are. And they've identified themselves as a has-been. I used to do that. Been there. Done that. Not now. Boo-hoo. Feel sorry for me, see? Five, maximum production in Christian service. And you see, the key here is the next three words, from true motivation. We got a lot of production going on that is not from true motivation. Now, we don't have that much here because it's obvious it'll be exposed. But there are people that are involved in churches, and they're just fired up all the time. And expending energies unbelievably and accomplishing nothing. Do you ever have that with your children, ladies? You ask them to, say, clean the bathroom, if you still do that. Good parents do. And you go back about an hour later and they're still in there. And ironically, when you do it, you can do it within 10 or 15 minutes or less. Now, they're either not doing anything when you leave the room, or they're just too involved with the person they see in the mirror. Oh, wow. Yes. 20 minutes goes by, nothing's happened. And Mom, do I have to put that brush in the toilet? Yeah, well, you're not going to brush your teeth with it. Just go ahead and use it. And you ever watch them? Get that face. And Mom comes in and says, "Look, this is the way you do it. That child wants you to do that." If I really goof up, Mom will finish it. See? And they don't know that we know. In our house, it was called the looks. And you know, they always, my kids used to look at us and say, "How do you know the look?" So now, I hear them saying to their children, don't give me that look. See, they caught on. You don't have to see any action. It's the look. How about husbands and wives? Do you know when she's angry? The look. It's a different look. What's wrong, dear? Nothing. See? Oh, nothing, huh? Then why do you have the look? Of course, a lot of husbands are clods and they miss the look. They never know when she's ticked. Maximum production in Christian service. See, this is the result in heaven when we've had maximum result in Christian service. It's the gold, the silver, the precious stones, as opposed to what? The wood, hay, and stubble. The wood, hay, and stubble is combustible. I believe we're going to see a lot of bonfires in the future at the judgment seat of Christ. What a pity. And I can't speak for other believers who are not being instructed by their pastors, but I can speak to you because you know the difference. There's no excuse for any of us failing in the Christian life unless we desire to fail. Remember, I'm trying to get you excited about your escrow blessings. Six, maximum function of your spiritual gift. Now, some of you are at the point in your Christian life, you're beginning to become aware of what that gift is. Others of you haven't got a clue. You're not even close. And for some, you're in your spiritual gift. What a delight. Now, I'm sure that all of us here, at least you may not be aware of yours, are aware of the fact that we have a natural gift of something. I've always been amazed. When I was in school in sixth grade, and there was a guy that used to sit next to me. His name was Jimmy McMahon. And you give him a pencil, and this guy would sit down, and he would draw comic strips just out of his head. Now, some people have to have something next to them that they are able to take from here and put it here, and it is exactly the same. I use tracing paper. But I have other areas, and I enjoy doing that. I just love it. You hear somebody say, I just love working with wood. Somebody else might say, I love working with metal. I don't particularly like working with metal. Obviously, Wes does, rather than wood. I like exotic woods. Ebony, rosewood, mahogany. The harder, the better. Grainy woods that have streaks, different colors in them. It's a lot harder to work than it is with pine, but then pine is not exotic. Look where we've come, by the way, with regard to the quality of our furniture. It used to be oak, remember? Mahoganies, the best mahoganies, not that Filipino stuff. I'm nothing against Filipinos. It's just Philippine mahogany is, it's Luan. It's not really a good grade of mahogany. Now it's all oak. It's all pine. And it's a solid pine. Big deal. Your occupation often is a reflection of your natural gift. Hopefully it should be. Can you imagine if you didn't have a natural gift of mechanics and you were hired by some outfit to work on automobiles? Well, that would be a drudgery for you. And I don't care how much training you've had. You can't learn it physically. There are techniques you just have naturally. Some of you like medicine, not to take it, to be involved in it. It's obvious that we have at least one lawyer, Westside Bible, and he enjoys it. Military types, law enforcement, the greatest of all, parent. See, if you don't enjoy being a parent, why'd you get married? Why'd you have children? Say, well, they were all mistakes. That's nice to know. What'd you call a mistake? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? I would have thought after the first, you'd have said, no more mistakes. You play the game, you pay the bill. 20-year mortgage. And sometimes longer. Especially if the marriage doesn't work. They come right back again. Uh-oh, I thought I got rid of you once. Maximum function of your spiritual gift. When you reach maturity, when you attain to spiritual maturity, your gift will be there. And it will have developed progressively. For example, I know my spiritual gift is not going to the foreign fields. I know my spiritual gift does not involve evangelism, even though I always have an evangelistic spirit with regard to the communication of God's word, but I'm not an evangelist. That's not my gift. I would rather study God's word accurately and teach it accurately than to be gregarious and effervescent. Can you just imagine me being gregarious? It's gregarious, isn't it? I said gregarious. That's okay. That's the Greek part of me. I am gregarious, like a Gregorian chant. Yeah. But I'm not a bubbly type. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. I did that, you'd leave. Say, what happened to him? My gift is pastor teacher. I know it, I enjoy it. Maximum function of your spiritual gift. Personal sense of destiny. That's our subject. See, when you have a personal sense of destiny, you know what life is all about. And you know where you're going in life. I was kind of glad, although I'm going to change that a little bit, but I was kind of glad that our valedictorian for the 8th grade graduation didn't say any more than she said. Because sometimes they get up there and I think to myself, man, have you got an awakening coming? High school is worse. We're going to get out there, we're going to make an impact on society. Not everybody applauds, except me. It's not just that way. And they're always kind of downing the adults for their lack of accomplishment. And yet they're going to turn around and become one. It's almost the same as when my wife and I moved from here almost 40 years ago back to New York. And so we were on the subway. And when we got on the subway, of course, we still had our tone. And we still had, the eyes were still bugging because of the noise. If you've never been on the subway, that's an experience. And I'd been gone long enough that I'd forgotten all that noise. So we were standing and kind of laughing, and it was obvious to the people on the train that we were not from New York, because we both had considerable sunburn. So I said to my wife, "What? What are the people?" And we started to laugh. They all have the same look on their face. And it was kind of, I don't know if I can do it without smiling, but it was kind of just sitting there, and you know, it rocks back and forth, and they just... And I said, look at their facial tone. It was like this. Pale. A couple of years went by. We were seated on the train. I said to my wife, I says, "Honey, look at the people." She says, "What?" "I don't see anything." "Right. Look at us." And here we were. Fit right in. I hope the kids that are graduating can make an impact. But too often, they just fit the mold. Personal sense of destiny. You could not have reached spiritual maturity without recognizing that you have a personal sense of destiny. And that God has a plan for you, and you're in that plan. And listen to me carefully. There's nothing more satisfying in the Christian life than to know you're in the center of God's will. Regardless of what you're doing, I despise that demeaning attitude that people have when somebody is in full-time Christian service. What does that mean? Every believer is in full-time Christian service. It's just that some are more vocal about it. And obviously, some are more visual in it. I was here over 20 years before they ever put my name on the sign out front that I was the pastor of the church. And then I think within a couple of weeks, somebody stole it. I noticed, by the way, that we've been graffitiized on the other side of the sign. And I said to my wife the other day, "Is nothing sacred?" It's not as bad as L.A., but it's getting worse. And all these gang signs, they know what they mean. I don't. What annoys me is what right do they have to come onto my property and with a spray can? You're going to see later, as a part of this maturity factor, this spiritual blessing, it's your blessing. And you can share it with others. It actually emits from one believer to another. It is shared by association. Remember, association is very important. Two areas of association in the Christian life: cursing by association and blessing by association. But look, you might be blessed by association, but what's wrong with becoming the source of that blessing to others? Be careful. You may be blessed by association, and you think that blessing is yours and derived from you in maturity, and that may not be true. A husband is blessed by a mature wife. A wife is blessed by a mature husband. I would think one of the worst scenarios would be that a husband and a wife are blessed because the children have reached maturity. Can a child reach maturity? Yes. Joseph did it at 17. You read the life of Joseph. What a noble young man. Compare him to the average 17-year-old alive today. You see, he was an invisible hero with invisible impact. And every time you find Joseph in any given situation, blessing comes to that situation. It came to the household of Potiphar. See, Potiphar thought that he was the source of that blessing. No, it was Joseph, and God was blessing Joseph. And as soon as Joseph was removed from Potiphar's household because of the situation with Potiphar's wife. She accused him, you remember, of sexually molesting her. And the low no-count that Potiphar was, never investigated to find out whether it was true, just took his wife's word and had Joseph imprisoned. You never hear Potiphar again. He's out of the picture. But you hear of Joseph again, because he's always in the picture. Now what? He's the chief of all the prisoners. Right on top again. Then we have the situation with the dreams. He made one grave error. Here's trusting in the Lord, resting in the Lord. The Lord is blessing him. And remember, he interprets the dream, and he says to the one to whom he interpreted the dream, or for whom he interpreted the dream, when you see the king, when you see Pharaoh, tell him you know me, that I'm in prison. Spent another year in prison because of that. Ironically, he remembers, and he's speaking to the king, and he says, by the way, did you have a vision yet? Well, there's a guy that can understand that. Well, get him here. And as noble as he was, he would not go the way he was dressed. He bathed. He shaved. However they did back then. And he stood in the presence of Pharaoh. What happens? He's second in command. See, you can't put a mature believer down. He's second in command. Pharaoh turns the whole works over to him. Started at 17. Wasn't bitter. Average 17-year-old today, taken by his brothers and sold to the Midianites, who in turn sold him as a slave in Egypt. Well, what would you do? Well, it's obvious. We see what goes on. Some guy's going with a girl, and she decides to dump him and starts going with another guy. Solution, shoot him. Now they have this thing called highway rage. Yeah, road rage. You don't like the way the guy's looking at it. And I've heard the suggestions. If you stop at a stoplight, don't look at the car and the person driving. So you got to go like this. Blinders. How come you got in the accident? Well, I didn't want to look in his face. I was afraid he was going to shoot me. We're going to see the Old West revisited. Instead of shooting on horseback, yeah, it's going to be in automobiles. Why did you look at me that way? I was just look. No, boom. What? Or if not boom, beat him to death with a ball bat. That's the way you do it. Where's the integrity in that? Where's the patience? Where's the compassion? It's gone. And why do you suppose that happens? Because it's popular. So you see it all the time. Violence. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't think these programs are the problem. I think it's the parent that's the problem. You know, there's a little switch. It says on, off, or button. If you don't want your kids watching that, and you don't have to put in some super chip to prevent them from, you just tell them, no. The other day I was talking to Christian, my granddaughter, and I said, why don't you go in and watch TV? She says, can I watch anything on TV? I said, sure. I wasn't afraid. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. And I don't get channels that she shouldn't watch at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, 10 o'clock at night, that's another story, but she's in bed while we cover her eyes. But I know parents that just let their little kid just sit there and watch all that stuff. Adult rated? I don't get that. you know, the X-rated stuff? Remember, I've told you repeatedly that you know a movie is not going to be any good if the first scene has heavy breathing in the background. And it's not because of workout. Well, it is. But not the kind you think. When you have a personal sense of destiny, you know that one day in the future, God is going to take you. But you see, remember this. Death and resurrection is God's victory. He tells us in His Word, that's His victory. So let's allow the Lord to have His victory in our lives. And it's inevitable. You can't escape it. If the rapture occurs first, well, technically speaking, that's departure. If death occurs first, technically speaking, that's departure. So it's departure in either sense. Point eight, maximum virtue instead of self-righteousness. Well, I think that's self-explanatory. But for those who do not know, what is self-righteousness? That's egocentricity. I, me, I. Life is lived around that, constantly demanding the attention of others. And there's a danger, you know, in people getting older. What's strange, what I found, is that up to a certain age, they're givers of their lives, of their time. And then they start to get old, and it appears they start to revert back to childhood. Years ago, we had an expression in our house of an old person. We would say, there's Grandma sitting in the rocking chair, chewing on her underwear, trying to find another piece to chew on, demanding, give me. Of course, it sounds silly. I don't even know where we got that from. Probably some Iowa thing. They have the strangest sayings in Iowa. Virtue. What an unknown in the time in which we live. The Bible asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? Remember that? In Proverbs 31, relax, ladies, I'm not going to go over it. I had some woman tell me a while back that it would take five women to accomplish that in this day and age. Well, possibly. I think of the women in Moses' day. They'd have a baby. And they'd pick up the baby, wrap it around their stomach, go back and work out in the fields. Pretty tough gals. No, I don't expect that. Relax. We live in different times. I don't know if any of you are involved in fields anyway. Virtue. Point nine, maximum personality identification. You know what this says? You know who you are. And as I've said repeatedly, not only do you know who you are, but you have no illusions, no fantasies. You are obviously a realist. A certain amount of idealism, as I've mentioned recently, that is necessary because that becomes the mother of invention. As with imagination. If a person has no imagination, if everything is just real, and factual, they're kind of boring to be around. Right? Now, I'm not talking about efficiency. I'm so glad that we have probably some of the most efficient men and women as a part of Westside Bible Church. And I'm glad for that. because I am not known for my efficiency in certain areas. As a matter of fact, I could care less. And I'm so glad we have people who think. I have no desire to get involved in that, and that's the administration part of Westside Bible. We've got excellent administrators. Turn them loose. They come to me, all I ask is advice. Advise me as to what you're doing. You want to start something new? Talk to me about it. I'll generally give you a kind word. It'll sound something like this. Go for it. But don't ask me to get involved in it.
Well, no.
You had the idea? Go for it. Is it going to work? We'll see. If it doesn't work, I'll be there. And I'll say it didn't work.
Well, what should I do?
Punt. Come up with another plan. Personality identification. You know who you are. You're not looking for yourself. Point 10, an invisible hero. As you know, we haven't really finished that yet either. So one of these days we'll get back to that. But what is that basically? An invisible hero is one who has phenomenal impact in three areas. Personal, national, and international. A person who has invisible, a person who has invisible impact or real impact as an invisible hero has impact first personally to themselves. And then nationally. Think of the men and women who have had national impact without really being recognized. And yet you see the effects. In some cases, international. I can think of missionaries, for example, that had phenomenal impact on entire countries. You think, for example, of Hudson Taylor. Originally, when Hudson Taylor left San Francisco or wherever it was he was coming from, somewhere in California, he was on his way to India. But he had to stop in China. And see, in his book, he says, in effect, that if he'd have known that God was going to send him to China, he wouldn't have gone, because he wanted to go to India. But see, God says, all right, you're on your way to India, but you got to go through China, and that's as far as you're going. And when he saw the need in China, and he founded, at that point, later on, the China Inland Mission, phenomenal impact, thousands. And the effects of believing Chinese to this day is still a result of that which was initiated under the ministry of Hudson Taylor. One man. God has a sense of humor. You want to go to India? No. But you got to go through China. And the boat's going to leave without you, or whatever happened. Many, many, many in the past. There was a time when, obviously, there was a phenomenal amount of impact in ministry. I think of the ex-ball player. Can't remember his name exactly. Ben? Billy Sunday. Now, Billy Sunday, he was an athlete. He had the foulest mouth. God blessed it. Thousands came to know Christ the Savior as a result of this guy. And he wasn't very tall. And on one occasion, for example, he was at a church and he couldn't see over the pulpit. I've been there. Not that church. But where the pulpit was so large, it was like this. I felt like, not Gizmo, the guy who used to, Kilroy. Well, anyway, they had this huge pulpit Bible. It's about this thick. He just grabbed and put it on the ground and stood on it. Preached away. than his athletic ability, he would use it. People used to go just to see him do these things. There'd be a grand piano, floor level. He would jump, one leap, onto the grand piano and keep preaching as he was going.
I'd be all over the stage.
As I said, and foul mouth. D.L. Moody. C.I. Schofield. Lewis Berry Chafer.
Impact. Just men.
Chafer and Schofield got together one day and they said, you know, we ought to start a place where people can learn the original languages, Greek and Hebrew. We'll just start it off as a small thing. Dallas Seminary. A huge thing. Moody Bible Institute. I once got that messed up. We had the choir, or actually they were a singing group from the Moody Bible Institute. And there I am and I introduced them. I said, tonight we are honored in having the choir from the Mighty Bubble Institute. Mighty Bubble. Instead of Moody Bible. I've done that a few times. I got the words mixed up. Instead of fiery darts, I caught myself though. I said, and there's Satan shooting his diary. No. Fiery darts. Somebody said you should have written all this stuff down. For what? Although I find as I do get older, I am now writing things down. I have a book. For the first time. 65 years. Never wrote anything down. But now, I forget. Somebody says something to me, I go, you did? We were? So I write it down. And I'm glad I do, because I say to myself, when was that meeting? It's written down. The ability to interpret historical trends. You know, when you read the newspaper or you hear on television or on the radio information being communicated about things that are going on in our world, that shouldn't be upsetting to you. If it is, you cannot interpret history in the light of current trends. As a matter of fact, the one that learns nothing from history has learned nothing. We're repeating ourselves in many areas throughout the world. The United States is one of the most notorious repetitors of error. Not necessarily of what we've done in the past. We're not that old as a nation. But what other nations have done. And the result was failure. And we're headed down the same path. It's always been amazing to me that God has been so long-suffering with regard to us as a nation. Because many nations fell long before at the current position of where we are nationally. Remember, God burned Sodom to the ground because of their illicit sexual behavior. We've got churches now that are pastored by these people. And they say, there's nothing in the scriptures about homosexuality. What Bible are they reading? The Bible condemned it to death.
Read Romans 1. You can't pass it.
We're not talking about Old Testament. See, in the minds of some, the Old Testament had a different God. He was the God of wrath. Whereas in the New Testament, a new God came along. He's called the God of love. No, here's what he says. Get on my wrong side, wrath. Get on my right side, love. Same God. You can evaluate life from divine viewpoint. Remember, one of the things we discovered was perspicacity. Insight. Discovery. You're able to interpret things in the light of the scriptures and see it through divine viewpoint. What's the problem today? Too much is human viewpoint. And you know, looking at life through human viewpoint, man, I'll tell you, if you're not wearing the glasses of grace, what a mess. I would be upset. Historical trends. There's no surprises either. As you read, you say to yourself, huh, I expected this. Look at the lowering of our standards for our public officials. Look at the lowering of our standards in the highest office of our nation. And the average person says, well, it doesn't matter what Clinton has done. It doesn't matter about his morals. What matters is his leadership. What leadership? Oh, I'm still thinking. Relax. I just don't want to tell you what I'm thinking. Well, I never thought I'd ever see the day when a conscientious objector became the President of the United States. Just like I never thought I'd see the day that I would have to defend grace in Christ alone for salvation. You know, we're not very popular anymore. The true evangelical is practically gone. Faith alone and Christ alone, by grace through faith, old stuff. I never thought I'd see the day when people were more positive to dancing girls on the stage of a church than they are to Bible doctrine. Yeah, I read the article. My wife gave it to me, and I read it. And I quote, the days, and this is a pastor just down the street, the days of a man standing in a pulpit and teaching from God's word for 1 hour are over. They need to be entertained. Dog and pony stuff. So they have a live band. They have plays where certain biblical stories are enacted on the stage. And the people just love it. I'm thinking of Isaiah, and the people want it so. Be thankful I didn't quote Jeremiah. Jeremiah was tough. They lowered him to a cesspool, up to his chin. And they said, this is what we think of your prophecies. His own right woman left him. And she went up on the hill, committing all kinds of horrible sexual acts while he was at the bottom of the hill teaching Bible class. Can you imagine that? Talk about distractions. How about Hosea? Married to a harlot. Completely disoriented at first. And then God says to him, listen, Hosea,
what Gomer is to you, Israel is to me.
Boy, that put fire back in his ministry. They not only interpreted historical trends, they caused historical trends. He said, well, Jesus Christ controls history. Exactly. It's always good to be on the right side. Point 12 tonight. 13 tonight. We'll cover more of these this evening. I hope this has challenged your appetite.